SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at the website, stevebick.com. Listening in, actually, to the replay from yesterday. And it generated some conversation. The eclipse categories, you know, when they're as distinct as they are this year, frankly, there's only a few areas that are where we're going to be waiting, and for those that are wondering, now that all the votes are in, they closed out yesterday, they'll announce the finalists on Saturday, and I think 11 o'clock on TVG, if I'm pretty sure. I will confirm that, but I'm pretty sure that's that is the plan. There'll be a couple of areas. This turf story, and Andy, actually, I haven't heard from Andy this morning, but when Andy joins us later, I know he's going to admonish me about not having domestic spending in the top three, and it actually the best debate and discussion has gone on at my Derby Trail. And I like this. One of the reasons, you do the reveal of these ballots is to generate conversation. You want to talk about what constitutes a championship season. There was on Twitter a little bit. I won't call it nastiness. Not by the usual Twitter nastiness, standards. But had a kind of an odd, response to Jackie's Warrior. Me, selecting Jackie's Warrior as sprinter. And, last year I did end up going with Whitmore, and I don't subscribe to the theory that the Breeders' Cup, overwhelms everything that came before it. And I understand that it's divisional matchup that can ideally bring together the stars in a division. But for those that think, it's the championship, so whoever wins the Breeders' Cup, how would you elevate Marche Lorraine, right? There's the perfect example. Latruska, frankly, in a scenario that was going to be very tough in terms of, the amount of horses that wanted to be part of the pace, and the fact that she danced, dance after dance. She went everywhere. She took on all comers. Well, so, Latruska losing in the Breeders' Cup doesn't destroy her whole campaign. It's just ridiculous. So I get that Aloha West, and I put Aloha West second and Golden Pal third, as I mentioned yesterday with Joe. I mean, Jackie's Warrior to me had a complete season. And you know, and particularly when it comes to the sprint division. And I wasn't a voter yet when Henny Hughes, I think I started voting in 2012. Right around there. I printed out a number of the ones that I could find, because I was very curious about my own patterns, at least the patterns as I believe them to be patterns. A horse like Henny Hughes, you know, you stumble in that Breeders' Cup sprint and the race is over. It's over for him. So does that completely wash away everything that came before it? Not for me. There's certainly horses that cap their season, you know, like the way Nick Sko did. Gamin and CC are maybe an interesting case. I mean, Gamin had an adequate year, but she was, I don't know, she wasn't as brilliant as she had been at three. And that, you know, shouldn't necessarily be a mark against her. But CC winning the Filly and Mare Sprint and already owning, you know, another, I think, three stake wins on the year. I mean, that tips the scales. It's a very interesting discussion, and there are no rules. I mean, as we've discussed so many times before over the years, you know, there's no rules per se on what is supposed to guide your, you know, conclusions. So anyway, the discussion with Andy got into, like I said to Joe yesterday, I really struggled in this turf division because, you know, everybody had a smattering of success. Then you've got the horses that invaded, you know, like a Space Blues and Yabir. Of course, on the Filly and Mare side, Santa Barbara in a lot of ways was, you know, kind of a female version of Yabir, right? It was strange. I mean, Warlike Goddess did more than enough. And you know, there's another interesting example. Warlike Goddess had a domestic campaign that saw her win, four graded stakes, including the Flower Bowl, the grade one, a grade two, the Glens Falls, the Bewitch, and the Orchid. And then she got beat to half length, to Love's Only You, who is obviously an international superstar. You know, that's another whole debate you get into on this arena, which is the, as Joe said, he wants to see at least two North American starts. The only horses historically that I can recall that for me were, you know, invading one-time winners that, you know, absolutely, you know, deserved with the one performance, a horse like Goldakova. I mean, that was, you got to be a Miesque, a Goldakova. You come, that's, and Love's Only You is certainly, you know, certainly close on that. But I thought that Warlike Goddess had, you know, enough of a foundation. So anyway, Andy, you'll have he's got some very interesting perspective on it. And he doesn't vote, but he's like everything else. He's got a strong opinion. So it'll be interesting, I think, to talk. There was also, I was up very early this morning. There will be some noise here the next couple of weeks because not far from where I come to you, the closet bathroom is going to be worked on starting today. So there's going to be a little Yeah, there'll be some hubbub the next couple of weeks. It's a long time coming for that. You know, it's the master bath. You know, the shower's just getting, you know. They just, at a certain point where you just say, all right, this bathroom's obsolete. And it's also, you know, closet, good size closet. So it kind of arranged, you know, put up some shelvings and whatever. But expect some fur to fly around here, I think, the next couple of weeks. Might be called away, you know, here and there. So I now I've managed to to interrupt my train of thought. Not that there was one. Give you a quick glance away from this for a second. I don't know. I just went off in this direction because I was listening to Joe and I discuss it and had the reaction. Oh, I know what I was going to do on the breeder side. I'll get back to that. But Jessica Martini is going to join us in about 10 minutes. We'll talk to Jess. She's got a very good preview piece for the sale. And specifically, as I said yesterday to Tony Lacey, I had not really had a chance to kind of dig through the catalog. And Jess has got a story, a TDN, about one of the, you know, the potential in the sale, Belgrade. This is a hard spun that could very well, you know, move right off into, you know, into stakes company. So kind of interesting. Randy Bradshaw, and, you know, it's kind of unusual to have a horse like this at this time of year, you know, that has got some instant credential to, you know, maybe make a little noise. So talk to Jess, and we'll get some of the other stories that she's tracking as they start that sale at 10 o'clock. Today. We'll talk later in hour two the winner of the tour, Kevin Costello, Joseph Kevin Costello, and Kevin's tour win looked to get his perspective on going to Vegas with a bonus scenario as the tour winner, and, you know, what kind of a year, you know, the long-running tagline, how you don't choose to go on the tour chooses you, you get off to a good start at the beginning of the year, next thing you know, you got the points, and from there, you just, you know, now suddenly you're, you know, now suddenly you're, you know, chasing it and you're in contention to, you know, to win big. So we'll talk to Kevin. We'll talk about his background and his experience in the contest scene. Looking forward to that. I cannot recall. Maybe I have. No, I don't think so. I don't think we've met. Sometimes you see the names, you know, you see the names on leaderboards and on, you know, on the contest standings and so forth, you know, week to week. And sometimes they're familiar to you. And speaking of the contest arena, let me also, because I think I've got it here since we're mentioning, here's a quick rundown on the super qualifier from the weekend, Santa Anita and Express Bet. John Petoskey, he won pretty clear, $3,830, and picked up an additional $11,300, and he's going to utilize the seat, the NHC seat, for January. Derek Dixon, $2,965 for second. He picked up an additional $4,500. He's going to use the 22 seat. Henry Conti was third, $2,500. And then he banked another $3,400 in prize money. He's using it. He must be set for January for Vegas. So he's going to use it for 2023. Mark Bertolucci was fifth. He's going to use a 22 seat. He picked up an additional $2,270. Dylan Donnelly, speaking about names, you see just constantly one of the most consistent players on the scene. He's using a 22, and he won an additional $1,135. That was your top five finishers. And then three more seat winners. Lisa Ramirez tied for sixth with Ken Seaman and Paul Kush. And Lisa's using the seat for this year, and Ken and Paul for 2023. So that was the super qualifier this weekend. All right, wanted to get that in, and I'll probably get some more last-minute winners. And, of course, the most last-minute winners, the lastest last-minute winners, they'll come on Thursday, the 27th. At Bally's. All right. So, but looking forward to a visit with Kevin. And I should also mention, don't know if we'll talk to him today, but the rookie tour victor was Adam Haskins. And it looked like, right, that was the name that we had offered on Friday with Keith. So congratulations to Adam as well. I'll reach out to him and find out about his interests first year participating on the tour front, and the rookie winner. Nice. And we'll start to get a handle on who's going. And it was nice that it was nice to hear from Keith on Friday that there wasn't all that many players bypassing and looking to defer their seat to next year. Looks like everybody that qualified is coming. Before we get Jessica, I've got a couple of the news stories, and of course the big news story yesterday that started to make the rounds. It actually started with Churchill, and on Darren Rogers' Derby Media account, basically, a couple of lines statement that was essentially reacting to the piece in the New York Times that laid out Clark Brewster representing Bob Baffert and essentially trying to, I think some people interpret it as a missive on Baffert's part and Brewster's to negotiate with Churchill. But that certainly seemed like it was met head on by whether it's the quotes from Karstangen or the very succinct statement that Darren circulated. CDI is committed to protecting the integrity and future of the racing industry for the horses, our fans, our partners, our team members, and the betting public. No one is above the rules, including Mr. Baffert, and we remain intent on holding him accountable for his actions. And, essentially the threat of this lawsuit involves due process and all the things that have been, discussed. We've had this in various versions as addressed by Alan Foreman with us, and that included you know, the discussion about New York and also the Jerry Hollendorfer situation. And you know, one thing I did ask Alan this morning what he thought, and actually I didn't reach out to Alan for that, but to get an update on Maryland. We should know more about the Laurel situation this afternoon. So keep that on your back burner. They should have, they're having a meeting, and mid afternoon you should have some word on where they think they stand, and what, if there's going to be contingency, what it, you know, what that plan is going to entail. But the one thing Alan did say to me from a legal standpoint is that Kentucky is pretty different from New York in terms of the way these kinds of you know, legal tangos unfold. So and Al, in fact, Alan, I think, even made this, he even made this suggestion that this might be you know, what the, you know, what the legal angle Baffert and the team, the legal team, was going to take. Didn't seem to make much of a dent, and you would certainly expect that you know, Churchill, you know, they certainly have legal resources behind them to see this through. So this. You know, the latest skirmish. And since we're on that topic, one thing I didn't get to yesterday that I absolutely wanted to, I retweeted it and also recirculated Jay Privman's link to Jay Hovde's excellent summation and insight into the, speaking of loggerheads, the confrontation between the California Horse Racing Board and the Veterinary Medical Board. And of course, this is over Dr. Blaya, and I really invite, for all those that were taken in by the early reporting on this, that, you know, seemingly was intent on smearing Dr. Blay, I really urge you to read Jay's extensive review of it. And there's too much in here to you know, go blow by blow, but you know, as Jay Privman, you know, certainly hinted and mentioned, there was you know, certain whatever interests, and it's hard to know what who those interests were. I just said, you know, anti-racing interests that were doing everything in their power to make Blay look bad, and to basically to you know, just paint a broad brush on everything associated with CHRB. And it's incredibly unfair considering the regard in which Blay is held by contemporaries and everybody that, you know, knows him and his work. And, you know, this was really underhanded. And I suppose we should be just ready to deal with this kind of thing. The piece is Interagency Politics Rears Its Ugly Head Out West. And I'll if you missed it over the weekend, I'll retweet it, the link. Okay. So, I mean, who's ever urging and whose ever mission it was to, you know, get Dr. Blay you know, removed from the Medina Spirit investigation. I guess they succeeded. But, you know, it's just a another insulting smear. I don't know how else to, you know, I don't know how else to phrase it, honestly. So it's another something else to play out. Let's turn the case. Let's reach for Jess. We'll get her in and talk about some of the stories and certainly some of the. Just reaching for the Stallion storyline. Because the short yearling market, that to me, as I said to yesterday to Tony Lacey, that's the fun one to watch, and also the covering sires. So there we go. Just in case you don't have that case, there you go. Jessica Martini. It's never too early for a martini. The names to be watching for today and the next 4 days. You know, Omaha Beach and Audible and Vino Rosso, Mottoli, Catalina Cruiser, Catholic Boy. You know, those are all the first crop short yearlings that'll be through the ring. In fact, let me pull up, let me also, as we get Jess in here, let me, I do not have... the Keeneland. There's Jess with us now. Jessica Martini, Happy New Year.
Steve. Happy New Year to you, too.
How was your holidays?
Very nice. Very relaxing. Nothing bad happened, so I'm happy. We're sitting on a curve at this point.
Well, it's funny that that's how we measure everything. Nobody got COVID, and, exactly.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, there was no, nothing that, you know, there were no comets crashing into the earth. There's a movie.
Right, exactly.
There's a movie about a comet crashing into the earth, but not, but not an actual comet. The season starts. I had Tony Lacey yesterday to get kind of an overview, Jess, and the whole sale was pushed back 24 hours by, the serious weather that ripped through. In terms of getting things going here in about a half an hour, give us a feel for some expectations from what you're seeing.
I think based on what we saw in November and September, I think everyone's kind of optimistic that it's going to be a strong market, and that, you know, the demand is still there, and I think everyone's expecting it's going to be a good sale.
When it comes to these early season mixed sales, what's your watchword, and what do you look for, and what storylines? You know, one of the things that got me, you know, to reach out to you was that piece about Belgrade, which is really kind of interesting. Randy Bradshaw and, you know, what could end up being a stakes 3 year old. It seems like kind of a rare opportunity.
It does, and I think something that Keeneland did this time that I've seen them do more at this sale than I have in years past is accepting supplemental entries further in and closer to the sale, and I think that has helped them attract horses who have really current form, like Belgrade, who is a horse that just broke his maiden at Fairgrounds and could, you know, potentially put an owner on the Derby trail, obviously early, but he's already shown promise. I talked to Randy Bradshaw, who bought him as a yearling, and the plan was to resell him as a two-year-old last year at the Gulfstream sale. When that didn't work out, he decided, I'll keep him, I'll put him in training, I'll get a race into him, and if he races well, then I can sell him and make a profit that way. Obviously, you're ahead of the game there. You're not buying an unproven two-year-old. You've got a horse that already has a start and an impressive one at that.
What did you ask anybody what might be the market for a horse like this right now?
I mean, I'd just an estimated guess. I'd have to say, you know, $400,000-$500,000 would be kind of in the range of what they're looking for.
Wow.
That's, you know, kind of, and he bought the horse, I think, for $45,000 as a yearling.
How about that? He's a hard spun, and I'm just, I know the Mrs., was it Mrs., Sineskin Dorea mare. Mrs. Britannia is the mayor, and Brendan Walsh has been training. Is this a horse that if would Bradshaw go on with him if he doesn't get the number that he wants?
He did mention that he would be happy to stay in for a part of the horse. I think, I mean, he's a pin hooker in general, so I think his plan would be to sell. I think he'd be more likely to sell than not, but stay in for a piece if the number is right for him.
Well, this was a first out winner, as mentioned, and actually got the start in December. So, you know, for those that don't want to, you know, get involved with the Apollo curse and you know, want to have a horse that started it too, he did do that. And
just snuck in, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, and this is one of those scenarios where, you know, you would think, you know, Brendan Walsh obviously has the kind of clients that, you know, might very well come together, and you know, there might be a, you know, a team in place ready to scoop this horse up. I mean, that's not, you know, that's not unusual, and certainly. You know, I'm sure you win like this and you have this scenario. Brendan, I'm sure, would like to have this now 3-year-old, you know, stay in the barn.
Sure, yeah. And I bet he's attracted plenty of people to look at him at the sales ground. So I don't think he'll lack for buyers.
How about before we talk about the, you know, the first crop short yearlings and the covering sires, how about some other, you know, older horses that are going to go through the ring over the next couple of days?
Well, I don't know, not so much older, but there's another 3-year-old filly who was supplemented to the sale, and Saucy Lady T, who's selling with Stuart Morris for James Chapman. And this filly was third in the Schuylerville last year at Saratoga. So another just turned 3-year-old who was supplemented to the sale late. As far as the older mares, there's Bella Vita, who just came off a graded stakes placing at Aqueduct a few weeks ago, or in November.
I saw the ad for Bella Vita, the Byron filly. Nice. Mm-hmm. And I also saw, I mentioned yesterday, Math Wizard going. When does Math Wizard sell?
I believe he is in tomorrow. He's another supplement. And there, I saw also another interesting live pedigree would be the 2-year-old filly by Justify out of Take Charge Brandy. And obviously her half-brother just won the Jerome. So another active pedigree there.
Nice. And let's see. 12. Math Wizard is 12:24. When did he last run?
No, I don't know that. I know 12:24 will be later in the week. Actually, it's not tomorrow.
All right, I'm gonna pull that up. Well, the fun part of January and February horse of racing age, horse of all age sales, certainly the first crop. Short yearlings, and as you've gone around and as you've talked to consigners and prospective buyers, whose progeny have aged nicely since September and October?
You know, I think I've heard just a lot of the same names that we've heard last September. You know, City of Lights are still popular. There's a filly by City of Light who's out of a half to Dunbar Road, Indian Creek has. And So there's still those, the Justifies and the Gun Runners, and the City of Lights are going to be well represented at this sale.
Well, and we've got who? Omaha Beach and Audible and
Mattoli.
Mattoli, Vino Rosso.
The Mattolis were actually very popular in November. I haven't heard, you know, as you say, how they've aged, I don't know, but they were popular, more popular than I figured they'd be in November.
Well, I'm just, let me take a look here at, I don't have the two catalogs, which makes it, so it's always easier when you've got the books to go through, and so
I like the paper books.
Yeah, exactly. I know because the online side of it is a little on the sluggish side. The others that some of the other names to watch for, Yoshida's got babies and Catholic Boy. I'm interested. Yep, World of Trouble, absolutely. Mm-hmm. From here in New York, Salamini. I don't know how many Salaminis are in the sale, but there's a little bit of a buzz about Salaminis. There's also from New York. Certainly got to mention Disco Partner. And it's funny because these are. You know, regional Flame Away. I want to slip in too. I'm kind of anxious to see what Flame Away offers.
An interesting prospect. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to see what he does too with that Scat Daddy line. Yeah.
And I'm just, let's see when the first there are some today. The first one through is a Philly that Vinery's offering, Hip 83. DeMarshall Yay, Maximus Mischief as well, Catalina Cruiser, all first croppers.
Well represented in this catalog for sure.
Nice. Well, how about on the Broodmare side, tracking, covering sires?
One interesting broodmare that we've seen is Coca-Cola, who's the dam, obviously, of search results, and she's carrying a full sibling to that horse. So that's one that everyone has their eye on.
How much, I asked Tony this yesterday, how much international interest,
we've sort of settled into this COVID situation, I think, with the online bidding. Even if they aren't here, there's going to be international interest. And it seems like most of the travel restrictions have been taken off now. I mean, as long as you have a negative test, you can get into the country. So I don't think there's any concern about the international participation at this sale.
Interesting. And obviously, this is more a kind of rank and file as opposed to boutique-y mares, but it's still...
Yeah, once it gets to be 16 degrees, Steve, we call it blue collar.
Nice. I hear you.
That's the demarcation right here at the TDN.
what other storylines? Who else you tracking that... or are you just going to let the results kind of dictate where you gravitate?
We're just kind of ease into the year. Christy and I are here, and we're just going to see how it plays out. But I think the horses with the recent form are going to do well. I think horses like Belgrade, they're going to be here for those kind of horses.
What it's funny. Yeah, you and Christy are there. Who's going to get to go to OBS? Who gets to escape to Florida? How does Brian manage to get that assignment
member.
Every year?
I am senior, so I get the warm assignment.
There you go.
I send Christy to Phasic February.
I love it. Yeah, because most I'm looking forward. Actually, I was getting some travel plans done, and want to do that. You know, the Tampa Bay Derby up to OBS. That's a terrific, you know, terrific tie-in.
Yeah, sure.
Makes for a great trip. So, yeah, but Chirac and DeBernardo seem to get down there, but maybe this is your turn this year.
Finally my turn, yep.
Nice. Well, Jess, I appreciate it. I just wanted to check in, and that Belgrade piece caught my eye this morning. I said, let me reach out to Jessica and get some thoughts.
Always happy to talk, Steve.
I appreciate it. As the sales season starts in about 15, 20 minutes at Keeneland January, and start to put them through the ring. We'll stay here. We got about 15 minutes to the top of the hour, and I wanted to get back to some of the weekend results. And one of the, you know, speaking of Tampa, by the way, Tampa and OBS, that makes me think of Mark Cassie. Did everybody? Cassie's got a very interesting horse that didn't necessarily rack up a big fig performance per se, and I'm pretty sure I've got the chart here to pull out Golden Glider. That's Delta Turfway. Come on. Where's Tampa? Huh. I thought I had it. Conrad Farms, who has really had, they've had some luck. This is a Ghost Sapper colt. And, of course, Cassie already sitting pretty with Papa Cap. But Golden Glider, watch the replay. I want to say 78 buyers. So it wasn't a big fig. But if you watch the way he did it, you'll see why he's an interesting prospect. And I reached out to Mark. And they're thinking Sam Davis and Tampa Bay Derby, and you know, and frankly, once you have a horse get over that main track at Tampa successfully, you certainly don't hesitate, because it's such a funny, you know, how often do we see horses come over from Gulfstream, for instance, and they just, you know, they just don't get over it the same way. Golden Glider seemed a little anxious on the backstretch. This was a mile and 40, and he settled by about mid-stretch. He basically settled and then just cruised up and took over. This is a nice horse, and Antonio Gallardo aboard. And now I'm curious as well. Maybe bring this one up with Sid. The breeding Nursery Place bred this horse with Dickon Equine. Was a $395,000 weanling. Keeneland November. So a pricey, say the least, a pricey weanling. Justin Cassie picked this one out. And the mayor's been productive. This could be a nice horse. Put this one on your Florida watch list. Oh, and I just pulled up the family. The first foal out of this mare was that Glamination, who was a nice that was a nice stake horse, Glamination, right? Let me now I'm gonna yeah won the Shady Well as a 2-year-old, second in the Ontario Deb. Yeah, it was a couple of placements at three, and actually she She's got a Army Mule, a short yearling Army Mule, and she's due with a Connect. For this fall. Interesting. All right. So, Golden Glider, all right? Let's slip that in. And since we're mentioning Cassie, I talked about that tap, the Speed of Sound, Mrs. Weber's winner the other day on the turf, but there was also Volcanic. I should really maybe, you know what? Maybe we'll, tell you what, between Papa Cap and Volcanic and Golden Glider, that's enough to warrant a Cassie call, I think, and get some updates. Volcanic, and we talked about in passing yesterday as part of the Gulfstream action, as well as some of the ones that went shorter, like that Ironworks for Todd's had a parade of the last 2 weeks at the end of the year and the beginning. But Volcanic is a violence colt that Don Alberto bred. And this has got to have them excited, although it's interesting that, they thought enough to try the hopeful at the time, but a waste in September, and that was a good way to come back. Breeze easy. Put the blinkers on and added Lasix. So this, we'll see if Volcanic is put into stakes right away, or whether maybe take a little bit more time. I'm intrigued enough. Now I've got to reach out to we're gonna have to reach out to Cassie, I think, Case. We actually got a little window. Let me see if who knows, maybe he's listening in the what I want to ask him about is his RV. There we go. All right. Let's see what kind of answer we get. This was the race that we mentioned as part of the force out. You could. I just texted him. Case, but yeah, you could call him, see if he's free. Yeah, we got 10 minutes at least. Now I'm intrigued. And of course now that Jessica's gone, I find the other piece with the there's too much on the desk. Let's see if Mark has got a window for us to talk more. But about these, who did not run well, and in that maiden race that seemingly was coming in well but didn't take any money, that was Calipari, the Firster, the Windstar Sienna Curlin colt, was last in here, and really never, you know, never got a much of a look in here. So that was certainly a disappointment off of, you know, what seemed like plus, you know, plus morning activity. But I, it's funny because it was obvious that he was like, I think when I first looked at the board, he was like 7 or 8 to 1. I thought, ooh, that's cold. And in fact, that's when, and Volcanic was like 4 to 1. And I said, ooh, Volcanic is the mojo horse. And I think I hear Mark Cassie in the background.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Good. I started talking about Golden Glider, and then I said, let me talk about Volcanic as well. And I said, you know what? Let's talk to Cassie. They don't need to hear me speculating.
All right. I haven't heard any of it, so you got to kind of fill me in.
All right. Let's start at Tampa then. And Golden Glider, this is one of those performances, Mark, that, you know, you look at it, it gets a high 70s buyer, but it's a more impressive performance than, you know, than the figure indicates. And plus the fact that any horse getting successfully over Tampa opens the door to just stay there and come back for the Sam Davis and for the Tampa Derby. Tell us about this colt.
You know, I thought... he's a horse that we've been high on all year long. He's shown, you know, a lot of ability. Had a couple little setbacks. I don't know if you know, but the Conrads, Manfred and Penny Conrad, are from the Toronto area.
Sure.
So I went ahead and that's why we went up to Woodbine, and we were getting towards the end of the meet, and there wasn't a whole lot of options. I really wanted to run him 3/4, 7/8, but I couldn't. So I ran him long. Patrick rode him, and he just stood there in the gate when they came out, and I thought his race was impressive how he won. And we got him to Ocala to our training center, and I was like, I wanted to come. I said, this horse could be a good horse, and I wanted to get a dirt race into him, and obviously – Tampa's 2 hours away, and so we made that plan, and I thought his race was really good. He ran the 78 buyer, but he had a wide trip, and Antonio said that he pulled himself up when he made the lead.
He seemed anxious on the backstretch, and then once he came around the turn, it seemed like he came back a little bit to Gallardo and relaxed.
I agree. And, you know, Steve, I threw a lot at him. It's not an easy transition going from synthetic to dirt, so I was concerned about that. But he handled it with flying colors. And more importantly, I mean, we just trained him about an hour ago, and he came out of that race better than ever. And I think he's a horse that just will continue to do bigger and better things. So we're going to go to the Sam Davis with him.
He's not a big horse, though, is he?
He's maybe about 16 hands tall.
Is he that big? All right, because
No, he is. He's beautiful. You know, he's a pretty horse. He's not huge, but he's about 16 hands. Now, Volcanic, you were talking about Volcanic. Volcanic is a bigger horse. Taller, he's probably 16'2", 16'3". Yeah.
Yikes. You know, it's funny, that family, your brother bought this horse, right, Golden Glider?
He bought him as a weanling, yeah.
For a lot of money.
I'll give you just a little history. We bought Shamrock Rose for the Conrad.
Sure.
In the two-year-old sale, I think I bought her for $130,000. And then, of course, she went on and won the Breeders' Cup. And we sold her for $2.5 million. And so the Conrads wanted to go back and invest. I think they bought maybe about $1 million worth of weanlings. at the time. That would have been in the November sale, and obviously my brother bought them. And I have a couple other. I have another colt that's not bad out of that group too. I think he bought maybe three or four. I think there were four. Yeah.
Interesting. This family. It happens to be quite a bit of Ontario, you know, tie in here, right? This was an Adina family that first foal out of Golden Scarf, the Ontario bred Glamination, who I'm sure you must have run against for Ropera and Steve Aspison.
Yes, I did. Yeah, you're right. It's a Dana Springs pedigree, obviously, and I'm excited about him.
Yeah, I wanted people to be aware because I'll find the Tampa page for people that want to watch the race.
The interesting thing is, the day before we had a really impressive winner for DJ Stables, the Greens, and his name is Glider.
Oh, that's funny. So you got a Golden Glider and a regular Glider.
Right. He by Quality Road, and he won really impressively at Gulfstream the day before. So we're big into gliders.
This is the Quality Road first start as a 3-year-old out of a Lemon Drop Kid mare, and Shell Evans bred this. Edwin Gonzalez is riding a lot for you at Gulfstream.
Well, yeah, we've had Edwin's kind of, when he came back after his injury, he started riding. I mean, I haven't looked, but I think he's winning almost 30% for us. So, yeah, he's done a good job. I think Edwin is a real up-and-coming rider. He can ride a little bit of any type of race, and he does a great job. Has a super attitude. You know, for me, I want guys that want to be there and try hard, and Edwin definitely fits that category. He rode a really good race on Volcanic. Obviously, Tyler was sick, so he missed. He was supposed to ride Volcanic, and Edwin came in and did a great job. And that was quite an exciting horse race.
It absolutely was with Mandy Pope's Charge It. Well, talk about that in a second. One thing about Glider, I'm curious. It just shows you the difference between what a stallion will get, because this is the sibling to the recently retired Fast Boat, the good turf sprinter of Joe Sharp's.
Oh yeah, I realize that, and we actually had him in on the grass, and of course it came off, and he went on the Tapita, but I mean, I thought it was a powerful performance. We're going to flirt with the idea. We may take him and run him at Tampa in an allowance race on the dirt and give him a dirt try. I mean, being by Quality Road, obviously, you got the Lemon Drop Kid on the bottom, which is a little bit of a concern with dirt, but not impossible. So we'll see. Feel very fortunate right now. We've got Papa Cap. He's ready for the LeComp not this weekend, but the next weekend. Training extremely well. And so we'll see.
We'll come back around to him. When it comes to Volcanic, give us a little bit more of the background, because you were aggressive with him over the summer, and that included a try in the hopeful. Then you gave him some time, comes back with blinkers added and gets Lasix, and responds with a low 80s, 83 buyer in this win.
Well, Cam's at Ion for a long time. I put him right up there in 18. He trained as good as any of our two-year-olds, Saratoga, and if you watch when he first time we ran him at Saratoga, he kind of got the dirt in his face, and he dropped back, looked like a run maybe last. And Tyler got him out wide where the dirt wasn't hitting him, and he came running and just barely missed. He got sick after that, and he missed a little bit of time. We brought him back. He trained really well, and I thought I kind of acted, like I thought maybe when he in the maiden race he should have won the race. So I said, well, if he had won, I would have run him in the hopeful. And so I said, this horse is training good enough that I thought he deserved a shot in the hopeful. I know it was a big ask. And then, of course, we drew the one hole, which is a killer. So that didn't help matters. And then when they broke, he hit the side of the gate. So he did everything wrong, and I think he ran about mid-pack. Well, that race took something out of him, and we just kind of regrouped. And my thought was, he's fast, but he's not fast enough to be on the lead or close to it going three quarters or seven eighths. And he doesn't like a lot of stuff in his face. So I said, well, I'm going to wait and run him a mile, and that way, the pace won't be quite as quick early. And we got lucky. We got a good post. We drew outside, and Edwin put him out there and put him in. I mean, he ran hard. So I think his future's definitely going long. I don't know yet where I'm going to run him back, but it'll be two turns somewhere.
Too aggressive to think Fountain of Youth, or would you be more conservative?
Haven't decided that one yet.
All right.
you know me, though. I'm not one to back down from I will go after things. So a lot of it, he'll tell us. I've got to talk to Sam Ross and Mike Hall about that, the Breeze Easy guys. And, so we'll see. But definitely he's going to be two turns.
Excellent. All right. So there's Volcanic as well as Glider and Golden Glider. And that I do want to touch on Tap the Speed of Sound, because you found a clever spot. And, of course, this is the $1.3 million dam, 1.3 carats of Mrs. Weber's. And I thought, ran a very nice race in here. Don't know if there's a lot of upside with this Tappet, but it's also probably a little too early to make too many conclusions.
I think there is. I think he doesn't have a clue what he's doing. He's got a big pedigree. I didn't think his first race, we've seen it a million times at Gulfstream, where those horses on the dirt separate. I think a lot of it has to do with kickback and whatever, but he made a little bit of mental move, got tired, and then, of course, got beat pretty good. But I think Todd's horse won by a long ways, and so it didn't shock me. We were just looking for a good experience, and a lot of times, I like running on the turf. If you get in a little trouble, it's just not as the dirt doesn't come back at him. It's just a better experience. As it turned out, he broke running, and Edwin put him on the lead. I kind of felt like going down the backside. I said, if they beat him, then shame on him. I felt pretty good as they went down the backside. But I think he has some upside. I think it'll take a while to get it out of him. A lot of those Tappets, they're not the quickest learners in the world, so we'll see. I'll be pretty conservative with him for a while.
Speaking of Tappets, knowing that he's a full brother to Tappet to Win, and actually that also leads to Super Stonehenge. What's going on with the siblings?
As we often do, Mrs. Weber is loves to give horses time off. I think
sure.
That's wonderful. And so both those guys are chilling in Ocala right now at her place, you know, getting ready for 2022. We'll have them ready probably somewhere around April or so. And yeah, she doesn't like them to stay at the track for more than about 6 or 7 months without a rest. And it's worked very well for her. And so, you'll see that happen a lot of times when you see those horses are laid off. Don't think there was something wrong. A lot of times it's just giving them some time, letting them grow up, and it's worked pretty well for us.
Well, of course, Stonehenge is a gelding, and Tap It to Win is a ridgeling, and you know, for those that have forgot about his resume, you know, placements in the Alan Jerkins as a 3-year-old, and a couple of stake wins last year. Won the Seagram Cup and won that Tampa Cup.
Yeah, he's a frustrating horse. I've always felt like there's more there, and every now and then you get glimpses of it. So maybe with age and time, you know, maybe you'll get better. She's a patient lady, thank goodness, and I'm a patient guy, so we'll see.
Well, and of course, you know, the Tappets, let them, no harm in you know, in letting them mature on their own timing. No. Let me get a couple of questions in on some upcoming starters. And I, you know, Mark, these maiden optional claimers, which they actually do run at Woodbine too, as it happens. You know, we're seeing Mike Lakow kind of have a steady diet of these, particularly the nightcaps, and they're cut below the special weight, you know, from a purse standpoint as well. I see you got this Blue Twirling tomorrow in the 10th.
Well, I want to address that because you're 100% correct in that's been going on for a while in Toronto, and it's actually a great race. So what happens, Steve, is that you have Florida breds, and for a long time we've been going along and the Florida bred races wouldn't go. And then you have a maiden 40 or you have a maiden 50 that sometimes doesn't feel as well. So they put the two races together, and I think it's great. It allows us to run our Florida breds. We don't necessarily have to run them for a claiming price. You know, so everybody gets to run. And we had a major issue in Toronto a few years back. If you had a $40,000 or $50,000 claimer that wasn't a Canadian bred or Ontario sired, you'd never get to run them. So then they started combining the two. And I think it was clever of Mike, to do that. I mean, Mike's done just great things at Gulfstream. They're very lucky to have him. Mike is an extremely intelligent guy, I think Gulfstream's very lucky to have him. Blue Twirling is I think she's in Wednesday. She's had her issues. I don't know. I can't. She's kind of just a horse.
Fair enough, and hence you know that hence the opportunity in that kind of a spot. I mean, it's sort of self, you know, a little self-explanatory.
I looked at it, you know. I don't know. She looks like she would have a chance.
How about Bat Masterson's Ice Maiden on Thursday at Fairgrounds in the 9th?
Yeah, she still has to step up her game there in Isle Philly. It's kind of been spotty. It's trained just okay, you know.
All right. Well, that's a frank response. How many horses are in Kentucky? Because you're taking advantage of the terrific program now at Turfway.
Yeah, that's that's we've had a bit of a slow start there. This year we had a great December. The max is 25. We have five there, made up mostly of, Kentucky breads. If you're going to be in Kentucky, you got to really kind of have Kentucky breads.
Sure.
The added money's there, and I mean, I enjoy Turfway. I think there's some good racing.
Yep.
Huge amount of horses. I mean, most places where, they're struggling to fill entries, you go in a maiden race, six horse field in California, you go into a maiden race at Turfway and there's 30.
No, there's no doubt. Every card has just been chock full. And listen, that's, as John Parada says, horses follow money, and that's become apparent.
For sure.
What about this filly of Gary's, Gary Barber? And I don't know, are you AE on this with that Constitution gal, or are you in the body?
Yeah, that's our filly. Filly, she was stakes place, of course, well beaten at Belmont this spring. That's not an easy race. I like the filly. I think she has talent. Probably going to get better as she goes on. But it's an easy race. There's three or four horses in there that are all right. I mean, I think she's one of those. I think she'll be competitive, but it's not an easy race.
Interesting. And I'm just looking through this. What's that? This is a really eclectic bunch, too. It's, huh.
But I'm sorry?
It's an eclectic group. Wesley's got one for.
Wesley's got two in there that both of them look pretty.
Well, and here's George Weaver, who has sending horses in from New York, always connected for Bonaventure Stables, a connect filly, who's been okay. Interesting.
I mean, Michael McCarthy's got horses. I mean, Brad's there, Steve's there. It's, I think that's just going to, because the way I understand it, and I think once everything gets going, the purses are going to even get bigger there.
You would think. Yeah.
And I like the racetrack. Obviously, I think it's a good, safe racetrack, and it's a good place to race.
How about you've also got that nice California Lily in an allowance race in the seventh?
Yeah, you know what? She's doing really well. The problem, and I don't know why they do it. Someday I'm going to ask them, but they like to ride a lot of mile races at Turfway. And if you're outside about the six path, seven path, it's extremely difficult to win. You run right into the turn. At least if you go a mile and a 16th, you get a little more run. But we have those miles, so we drew a bad post with her, which is going to make it extra difficult for her. She's coming off a layoff, but she's training well.
Well, and she, Gary Barber as well, and she's a stakes filly. How about back at Fairgrounds on Saturday, Lady Churchill? Looking to break the maiden with Decky aboard, and this is actually a four-year-old that has just kind of Louisiana bred that just doesn't really connect the dots.
Yeah, we just got her. Don't know a lot about her, but I would have preferred. Look, she's a Louisiana bred, we're going to give her a try on the dirt. I have a feeling she may be a little better on grass, but they don't run maiden claiming, I don't think, for Louisiana breds on the turf, or if they do, they didn't have any. So we're going to give her a try on the dirt. So.
Well, and since we're talking.
The one horse we're excited about is Gary, that Ron and Brow, he was impressive.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to try running him. We've got him in a Louisiana race, but two turns. We've been excited to get him around two turns. He's in, I think, Friday, is it? And Friday or Saturday. And he won the Louisiana bred stake at the end of the year.
Right.
But sprinting. But we've been excited by Gormley. We've been wanting to run him two turns, and so we're going to get to do that. So we're excited about him. And then, yeah, I mean, that horse has run some good races. If he, you know, if he can stretch out, he is the horse in the bigger races later on. And then Gary and us is out of love, the Cupid, who's going to be champion, two-year-old in Canada. He ran a 4.25 on the right on the Thoroughgraph last start, and he's training really well in South Florida on the dirt. We're going to run him in the Withers.
Oh, wow.
So we have a lot of nice three-year-olds with some potential, and we're going to keep them spread out. As I said, Papa Cap's going to run in the LeComp coming up in 2 weeks. Then God of Love goes to the Withers. We've got Golden Glider going to the Sam Davis. And I haven't decided what, possibly Volcanic to the Fountain of Youth. So we'll see.
That Braun and Brow, I'm a little surprised to see you run him back, right? Was that New Year's Eve?
Yeah, we're coming back kind of quick.
Yeah.
But you know, again, that's not something we're afraid to do. We will come back quick sometimes, but we've got a plan for him, and it was back a little quick. But you don't get that race very often, so you kind of got to. I want to get it into him, and then I'll give him. I think if he runs well, I think we got to figure it out. I think he gives him 6 weeks to the next race. So now we got a plan, and it's not ideal. It's back a little quick, but I think he can handle it just fine.
I get it.
Yeah.
I
mean, a lot of times, you know, people will question handicappers and you know, will question why you go somewhere or why you do this and do that. And it's, you know, we have to play the hand that's dealt to us, and sometimes it's not perfect. And so what we have to do is try to figure out the best scenario for the hand that's dealt to us. And so you'll see, you know, sometimes you do things, and like I said, they're not perfect, but there's always a plan behind.
Mark,
most of the time.
Well, and exactly. A couple more. I'm just looking now. I'm looking at what else you got coming up, and the stake on Saturday night at Turfway, the likely exchange, Ali Diva in that spot, and then there's a maiden going all the way till next Monday, a first time starter. By Constitution, a Virginia bred by the name of Framed. What are we doing with these two?
Framed is, he's a colt. It's first new owner, Brooke, and he's a horse. He's a really pretty horse. Kind of hasn't figured it all out. I've said it a million times, Steve. I like getting horses. I like giving first-time starters races on the grass. So, I mean, what a sire Constitution is. They can do a little bit of anything. He's a pretty horse. May need a race, but that horse could be all right. I think if he can move forward, you know, off races. And who else? I'm sorry, what? You asked me about somebody else.
Ali Diva is in the stake on Saturday night.
Ali Diva, you know, Ali Diva is the filly. Homebred for Tracy Farmer, got a super ride last time from Chris. I haven't looked at the race. I'm sure, you know, she's going to have to run a big one, but we're just trying. We, you know, she's a filly that Tracy wants to have as a broodmare down the road, and we're trying to pick up some black type.
Well, a couple of other stake horses then to touch on at the end of the year last year in December, at the end of the meet at Woodbine, is Sir Winston got a picture taken. What's going on?
Sir Winston's going to the Pegasus.
He is going to Pegasus.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to run in the Pegasus in the dirt, and then March the Arch is going to run on the in the Pegasus turf.
Nice. Nice. All right. You mentioned God of Love. How about any of the Breeders' Cup babies that haven't going all the way back to...
Let's see. Well, we talked about Papa Cap. Coinage. Coinage just breathed this morning. He looks good. I'm looking at maybe he may be going to Sam Houston. There's a race there at the end of the month on the turf, going a mile. I think that's where he's going to make his next start. Credibility
nice.
Is looking at one other than down at Gulfstream in the near future. Let's see, who else did we have?
Grafton Street.
Grafton Street's a little behind those two, so he's looking at Robinsbury. Grafton Street's an extremely talented horse.
And how about Lemieux? What's up with Lemieux?
Oh, you know what? She made 6, 7 starts as a 2-year-old, so we brought her to our place in Ocala. Gave her a few weeks off, and she is training up a storm. I haven't decided where I'm going to run her just yet, but she is extremely happy filly right now.
Nice. And all turf for her, or is she going to get some dirt tries?
I don't know. I haven't decided, really. Probably turf, Capita. Yeah.
Okay, because
another horse that I'm really excited about, and you probably don't even know I have him, is a horse called Get Smokin', Tom Bush had him. He's a 6-year-old by Get Stormy that, you know, he's a top-class horse.
Yeah.
We're going to run him. He's trained extremely well. We run him, I can't think of it's a stake the first week in February at Tampa. On the grass, I forget the name of the stake, but we're getting ready to run him as well. He's here. As I'm sitting here talking to you, I'm watching. We're still training. Horses are going by. He just trained a couple minutes ago. He's training well. We got him for Iron Horse Racing a couple months ago. And so we're excited to have him. I think he's doing really well. I think he could... have a big year this year.
So that's the Tampa Bay Stakes on the 5th.
Yeah.
The Grade 3. And actually, on that same topic, next week, you got are you running anything in the Pasco or the Gasparilla?
We're going to run Strategic Bird in the Gasparilla.
Strategic Bird, okay.
She's 2 for 2, yeah.
Nice. Wow. Well, there you go. There's everything you wanted to know. I was excited about Golden Glider, and here we are. You know, half an hour later. There's one thing that I have meant to ask you repeatedly, and Tina, we're going to be doing not a cross country trip, but during. Summer break, June, end of June, beginning of July, when we go away, or when I'm off. She wants to. We've talked about going Route 66 and having one of those kinds of trips, and so we were debating a rental car we've been toying with an Airstream idea, like a Bambi or one of those small ones. And I've never asked you about your motorhome. And
my new house. Yep.
Tell me about this and how involved is it to do this, to get either an RV or one that you drag behind you.
Well, we love it. When I was a little boy, we had an RV, and my dad when you drive, and so I had a lot of great memories up in Saratoga with that. And after, actually, when my dad passed away, we were driving down the road, and we passed a big RV, and I said to my wife, maybe we should buy one of those, you know. And now we use it every summer in Saratoga. We take it sometimes to the two-year-olds or to the sales. But now I have a big one. It's 45 feet long, and then we also pull. I have a Lincoln Navigator. So when you go down the road, it's, you know, you're talking to feet. So it takes a little while to get used to. I would say, like, if I was going to do a trip across country, I think I would go more for maybe a little smaller one that you can drive, you know, or an Airstream. I've been actually flirting with the idea of maybe get selling. The crazy thing is I bought it 4 or 5 years ago, and it may be worth more. Those things usually depreciate, but with what's going on right now in the world, there's not a lot of them available, and things are actually holding their value really good. But if you've never done it before, Steve, I would not go for the 45-footer. You know, it takes some doing to learn to drive it and kind of navigate with it.
Yeah.
I think it's a C class, which is where it's a little bit smaller. Airstream, actually, if you want to spend some money, Airstream has a Mercedes body, but yeah.
Well, there's that Sprint. What is it? The Sprinter or the Sprint right. Something? Yeah.
We love it. A couple of years ago, we spent 2 months in it in Saratoga and then at Keeneland for the September sales, and we were getting home, and my wife said to me, "Do we have to move back in the house?"
That's funny. Well, we looked, and Tina, I was very surprised that Tina was as interested and intrigued by this as she is. So I've been meaning to ask you in prior conversations about it, because I imagine there's a lot of other horsemen that have them too.
Butch Reed, he has one. He parked next to Saratoga there. I know Graham ended up, I think Graham got one, but it works out. I always have, the riders are always asking me about it. We like it too, because we have two dogs, and it's easier for the pets, you know. We like that we get to sleep in our own bed and have our own pillows and sheets, you know.
All right.
What I find interesting is, this is a whole different topic, but so you're married to a Tina. I'm married to a Tina. Bill Mott's married to a Tina.
That's true.
James Bond.
That's right. Jimmy Bond is Tina Bond.
What is it with Tinas? And because there's not that many Tinas out there.
That, you know, it's funny. It's funny to say that. Now that you say it, that's true. Everybody's got one.
It's sort of like started the conversation with Tina. I thought, oh, you're going to talk about my wife. And I said, no, wait, his wife.
But my Tina, exactly. Well, yeah. And she's not. It's funny because she is not a Christina. She is. Her name is strictly a Tina.
Yeah, so
she,
is mine. Mine was just a Tina. There was no Christina.
That's all right. We went from
one extreme.
I've been meaning to ask, because she and I are planning this June July trip, and. And I've always wanted to ask you about the RV. So
you just call me and I'll help you with that.
All right.
I am a bit of an expert on them. Okay?
I figure. Mark, this was tremendous. Impromptu, and I appreciate it. And obviously we'll be talking during the course of the first half here of the year.
Okay. Have a great day.
I appreciate it. Best wishes for a great season. Mark Cassie. And you follow Mark on Twitter, Mark E. Cassie. And, boy, obviously they're pretty well stacked up. He's got a loaded wagon. Let's take a bottom of the hour break, probably our only break of the morning, because we're going to come back. Kevin Costello is going to join us, who is your 2021 NHC Tour victor. We'll find out how he did it, and his interests in the game, and his handicapping method, and more. Kevin Costello next. We'll also find out a little bit. He's with Home Run Inn. Home Run Inn, the pizza. Yeah. So I you know I'm going to ask about Home Run Inn. Back after this, second half.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Sirius XM Sports presents... At the